Welcome to the podcast ABCs of Parenting Adult Children. Please join us as we discuss parenting adult children and the unique struggles that it comes along with.
Hello and welcome to ABC's of Parenting Adult Children podcast. My name is James Moffitt and I'll be your host. Today is March the 30th, 2024. Today we're going to be digging into episode 18. Before we get into our new episode, let me share a word from our sponsor, a Second Starts Recovery at https://secondstarts.com, which is run by Richard Jones. And what I will do is I will share the website here. I don't know if you can see that or not. I think you can. Yep. Essential change with Second Starts. Helping the involved family support networks of young adults in recovery from substance use and behavioral disorders. To increase the effectiveness of their current medical and therapeutic evidence-based programming. We do this by increasing focus, comprehension, and purposeful involvement in treatment. Reimagining and rebuilding through a forward-focused support network without the guilt and shame realized by most programming. We help to implement a self-refueling, sustainable life management system specifically tailored to the goals and vision of each family. Now for today's episode, number 18. Let me go ahead and turn that off. Turn me back on. Here I am. I want to wish everybody that's listening to this podcast, which will probably, this weekend may already be over by the time you listen to it. It's Saturday afternoon. We're all kind of in America or maybe even all around the world. I don't know. I don't know how many people on the globe celebrate Easter, but a lot of people I know, people I go to church with, they celebrate Easter. Easter's a big deal to those of us that are Christ followers, and I know there are other religious holidays around this time of the year, and so I want to recognize those as well. I don't really know the names of them, and I didn't do my research because the scope of this podcast episode is really not around Easter. However, I want to acknowledge that this is a special time of year for a lot of people, and if you celebrate Easter, then I hope and pray that you have a blessed Easter experience. And I know a lot of people hide Easter eggs. A lot of churches hide Easter eggs, and the youngsters can go out and search for them and just have a good time. So I hope everybody has a peaceful and restful and blessed Easter experience. Now that I have that out of the way, I think you can see that I have a new backdrop behind me. It's a cityscape at nighttime. And the platform that it's hanging off of is wider than my office. So I'm going to have to measure and get a backdrop that fits my office better. However, the backdrop does serve a purpose in that it hides all my office equipment behind me, my printers and my gun safes, and all the gun safe stickers and Second Amendment stickers, because I feel like those stickers and their messages may be a little offsetting to some people, right? It may or may not. I don't know. But I just want to, I want this podcast to be focused on parenting adult children and the struggles that we all go through, or are going through, or have gone through, and I don't want the Second Amendment or the gun safes to be a distraction, okay? So, I'm still learning how to podcast. I've accumulated some equipment. I've accumulated some knowledge. And I've learned how to do the intros and outros and add music and fade in and fade out and all that kind of cool stuff. So this is only episode 18, right? So I'm still learning. So I will just ask that everybody be patient with me, and I will increase the quality and quantity of ABCs of marriage and raising adult children as I'm able to. Okay? So, having said all of that, I found that using AI, Microsoft has an AI called Chatbot, and it uses ChatGPT. And I don't know if you know anything about AI or what it does, artificial intelligence. It's been out for a while. All the big tech companies, IBM, Microsoft, Apple, all the big tech companies are developing the AI and the LLM language modules and how it gets all of its information off the internet. There's quite a bit to it. I've been reading a lot of information on how it all works in the background, and even though I have 28 years of IT experience, some of it's a little bit over my head, but it's quite interesting. And for the longest time, I did not really embrace AI because I had an idea of, you know, the Terminator and Skynet and the machines were going to take over and come kill us all off and blah, 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 right? Even though I know that was an extreme example when they came out with the Terminator movies and all that. And is it impossible for that to happen? Of course not. Is it improbable in 2024? Yes, it is very improbable. And so what I did is I decided to take baby steps and start using AI or ChatGPT to augment my existing knowledge. And so what I do is I ask Copilot or ChatGPT to give me examples of topics around parenting adult children. And ChatGPT verified that there's just not a lot of information on it. There's a lot of information about parenting teenagers and temper tantrums from toddlers and, you know, all sorts of things when it comes to teenagers, but there's not a lot of reference material out on the net about parenting adult children. And that's one of the purposes behind my podcast. I want to provide parents that are listening to this, parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, stepchildren, whoever, anybody that's dealing with a parenting adult children, I want them to be able to get some helpful information. So I used AI to give me some topic information. And one of the resources that, and one of the topics that I was looking at, one of the resources that it gave me was Extra Mile from the Hartford Company. The Hartford Company is an insurance company, but the URL is extramile.thehartford.com. That's extramile.thehartford.com. extramile.thehartford.com, right? And so you can see that under the family topic or category, you got caregiving, grandparenting, parenting, pets, relationships. So we're looking at adult children, the guide to parenting your grown kids. Okay. Parenting adult children is one of the most difficult and yet least discussed life transitions facing today's boomers. I'm a boomer. I was born in 61. November of 61. Toddler tantrums and teen hormones were no picnic, but there is an abundance of resources available for those stages of parenting. Not so much for how to parent adult children, though. That's why we've created this guide. Use this as a resource hub and reference it for tools, tips, and strategies so you can better navigate the challenging time in your adult children's lives. When your children become adult children, whether you believe adulthood begins at age 18 or that it's less about a number and more about maturity, the reality is that today's young adults live in a very different world. Crippling college debt, a highly competitive job market, the pressure to perform and succeed early on. Constant comparison with peers via social media. Because of these changes, new definitions of adulthood are emerging. In fact, experts are using the term emerging adulthood more frequently, thanks to the work of Jeffrey Jensen Arnett, a research professor of psychology and author of Emerging Adulthood, The Winding Road from the Late Teens to the 20s. In the book, Arnett explores the demographics of this life phase and marks the distinction between adolescence and adulthood. But life for a 20-year-old adult child looks totally different than that of a 30 or 40-year-old adult child. If you have a large family, you may have adult children in all three of these stages of young adulthood. There may be overlap and outliers in these decades. For example, more than 10 million millennials are currently caregivers for a parent or grandparent, but these are among the general milestones and markers for young adults. Life in the 20s. Finishing college or attending other post-secondary institutions, applying to and attending graduate school for an advanced degree, looking for jobs, dating, exploring identity, defining career and life success. Life in the 30s. Career advancements, relationship changes, longer-term dating, marriage, cohabitation, travel, saving for buying a home and starting a family. Life in the 40s. A more focused career, or perhaps a career change, raising children, planning for caregiving as parents and grandparents age, continued education. Parenting adult children. Your diaper changing and chauffeuring days are over. Whether you feel relieved or conflicted about this change, it's time to embrace your adult child's independence and enjoy a new phase of parenthood. There are different ways for parenting adult children. Here are 8 ways to grow a healthy relationship with your adult children and how to parent adult children in their 20s and beyond. Recognize and respect your differences. If you and your child had conflict well before adulthood, it won't disappear overnight on their 18th birthday. Sometimes, the conflict is simply the result of a personality clash, and being under one roof can intensify it. Good news. There's no time like the present to accept and celebrate the uniqueness of your child. You may not always agree with their life choices, but as their independence grows, find joy in connecting without conflict. Number 2, share your wisdom and insight without being critical. Because your child may have a very different temperament than yours, they may not always respond well to your suggestions, helpful as you think they may be. If they sense criticism, they may even shut down completely. If you're sharing wisdom, do so with grace and sensitivity. This is one of the many challenges in parenting adult children, but it is also a strong way to build a bond of understanding and empathy with them as well. Learn how they communicate. That is a very critical statement. Learn how your children communicate. Let's talk about the marriage relationship real quick. And communications. We learn as we mature and grow in our marriage relationships. Communications is very, very important. And one of the things that we learn is, what is your spouse's love language? I'll say that again. The most effective way to communicate with your spouse whether it be your husband or wife or significant other, is find out what their love language is. And once you figure that out, then you're going to have a much easier time of communicating with them. And that's why I thought, learn how they communicate. Learn how your child communicates. How do they communicate? Sometimes they may not want to communicate face to face. They may not want to have an old-fashioned conversation. They might want to talk via a social media app, or if they have a smartphone, they would rather text you. Maybe your millennial wants to text you and talk to you that way. You know, the conversation may not flow for long periods of time, but you may get some snippets from them and some statements from them that let you know how they feel about a certain situation. One of the things I learned in corporate America is it's key or very critical or important that in corporate America that you learn how to communicate with your coworkers and your boss or your supervisor. You know, some people respond better to you tapping on their office door and letting them say, come in and have a face-to-face conversation. Some people don't want to have a face-to-face conversation. They'd rather get an email or hundreds of emails, I might add. Some people would rather you just send them a quick message via Teams, Microsoft Teams. It's a collaboration tool. So there are many ways to communicate with your coworkers at work as well. And it's the same principle here. All right, number three, setting boundaries with adult children. No matter what your living arrangements are, adult children living at home, adult children living overseas, and everything in between, you still need boundaries. There may be times when you're the first person they call in a crisis, and other times they'll want to figure it out with a friend first. Likewise, just because your children are adults doesn't mean you should tell them all the intimate decisions and discussions you may be having at home with a spouse or partner. Set ground rules for how to disagree. Setting boundaries with adult children may feel uncomfortable at first, but the more you do it and stick to it, the easier it will get. Number four, do things you love together. If you loved shopping with your daughter when she was a teen, there's no reason to stop now. Maybe this is a time to discover new things you both love. Whatever traditions, hobbies, or activities appeal to you and your adult child, commit to enjoying them together on a regular basis. Number five, make room for significant others in their lives. It may be hard to share your children with their significant others, but these relationships are an important stage in their launch towards independence. Be open-minded and gracious as you meet this person and find ways to get to know them without being too pushy or critical. This doesn't necessarily mean letting go of adult children, but giving them the room to grow and learn at their own pace. So, one thing that comes to mind when it comes to significant others, you may be in a heterosexual, straight relationship with your wife. My wife and I are in that category. We've been married 34 years as of this coming up May. And we have your typical male-female husband-wife relationship. And one of our children may wind up having a significant other that does not observe or fit that mold. They may be bisexual. They may be transgender. It may be anything, right? So the key thing here is that your adult child's significant other is important to them, right? We don't serve any good purpose by belittling or making fun of or criticizing or judging their significant other. It's going to do nothing for your relationship with your adult child. If your adult child walks in with a significant other that doesn't fit your mold or you can't wrap your brain around it, put a smile on your face and be courteous and be gracious and do your best to accept who they are for who they are, and you can work out all the other little details in your mind and heart later on down the road. I hope that makes sense. Make room for significant others in their lives. Number six, be a consultant, not a CEO. Tess Brigham, an LMFT, licensed marriage and family therapist from the Bay Area, says this phase of parenthood is not about running the company and being in charge of their life as you were when they were a dependent, but instead, parenting adult children may mean offering expert advice and guidance that adult children can implement. So, in their teenage years, and when they were infants, toddlers, adolescents, and teenagers, I guess adolescents and teenagers are in the same category, you had a parent-child relationship with them. Once they turn 18, 19, 20, 21, they can vote, they can buy beer, they can function in society as an adult. They are no longer your dependent. They are no longer your child. And you can't treat them the same way. Yes, they might be living in your home. They may be dependent upon you for room and board for a period of time, but we have to respect the fact that they are turning into adults. We can't treat an 18 or a 21-year-old adult child like they're 12 or they're 3, right? We have to respect where they're at in life. Number seven, be a sounding board for adult children. Create an atmosphere in which your children always feel like they can talk to you, says Cynthia White, a Canadian-based freelance writer with a 29-year-old daughter and 32-year-old son. Adult children will not always be asking for advice, but rather just asking for a sounding board. White says, in addition to keeping the lines of communication open, keep a poker face when they do talk to you about stuff that makes your skin crawl, she adds. Yes, that goes back to my comment about significant others. Make family meetings a regular occurrence. If you fostered open communication throughout your child's life, regular family meetings will feel much more natural, says Dr. Richard Horowitz of Growing Great Relationships. In large families, keeping everyone on the same page can be tricky. Regular family meetings allow a safe space for siblings and parents to share issues of concern and to process hard things together. Adult children who ignore their parents. Not every parent and child have a happy relationship, and adulthood can widen that gap. Look for opportunities to foster a healthier relationship than you had in the past, now that the dynamics of authority may have shifted. Try to find common interests. If your daughter loves sports, plan to go to an event together. If your son loves art history, invite him to meet you at a museum on a Saturday. If the wounds of your painful relationship run deep, you may want to seek out a therapist who can help you understand the roots of the hurt and work towards healing. There may be an opportunity to bring your son or daughter to a session with you so the therapist can mediate an open conversation about these past hurts. No matter what the situation, be persistent in pursuing a relationship with your adult children, recognizing that you may be closer to some of them than others. If your child is completely ignoring you and you've already attempted to ask why you may need to give them time and space, don't take it personally, and consistently express your desire for a relationship when they're ready. Adult children who disrespect their parents. While you may not always agree on everything in this new phase of your parent-child relationship, adult children shouldn't be testing you or rebelling against you anymore. Set an expectation for respect. You are still the parent figure. If your adult child moves back home, you may also be providing room and board. Tess Brigham, a trained psychotherapist turned 20-something life strategist, says one of the most important things parents can do before an adult child moves back home is to evaluate what you want from this arrangement. instead of immediately preparing your child's room and filling the refrigerator with food. It can be so hard for parents to say no, Brigham says. That's why it's so important to set an intention, to think about what this might look like and set clear boundaries. If you heard the ice cream truck, please forgive me. I tried to pause the recording so that I could spare you from that, but I'm thinking that you heard the ice cream truck. It's very difficult to find a quiet place that is not going to be interfered with by other family members or barking dogs or door slamming or the ice cream truck driving by outside your window. So this is a free podcast, and so hopefully you can just laugh right along with me and move on with me. All right. Let's see. Where was I at? That's why it's so important to set an intention to think about what this might look like and set clear boundaries. For example, you should still go to a yoga class or the gym and keep your own commitments instead of dropping everything to go get milk or pick up a job application for that child. This prevents resentment on the part of the parent and helps ensure that self-care remains a priority. You need to support your child without getting lost in the process, says Brigham. So one of my episodes on this podcast is about self-care and how important it is for the parent to find peace of mind, to find some me time, and to focus on your peace of mind and your stress levels and de-stressing and decompressing and doing whatever it is you need to do to get your wits about you and to recenter yourself. And, you know, naps are great for that, listening to the music you like to listen to, going to Starbucks and getting a cup of coffee and reading today's paper, reading blog posts, listening to podcasts, whatever it is you do to find that inner peace. Prayer's good. Anyway, all of those things are great. So you need to, while you're helping your adult child, while they're moving back into your house, don't neglect yourself. Don't neglect what's important to you as well. I think that's what she's saying. And I think that lines up with what I said in my podcast episode as well. Adult children who move back home. Dr. Horowitz says there are two main reasons kids move back home: money and parenting styles. It's harder to be financially independent in today's society, where college debt often far exceeds what the new graduates are able to earn, if they're fortunate enough to find a job. They either rely on their parents for income or must move home. I remember back in the 70s, and I graduated high school in 1980, May of 1980. I remember in the 70s when I was growing up, my parents were educated, had college degrees. I think my dad, who was in the military, he was a drill instructor for 26 years, went to Vietnam, went to Korea. He was an army man. He was a very authoritative figure in my life. I remember him going to East Texas State University when I was growing up and taking college courses. And I believe he was trying to further his education and get his bachelor's degree or an associate's degree. I've never figured out or heard or understood what he was doing or why he was doing it, but I know that he was trying to better himself, right? And I remember that back in the 70s, if you had a four-year degree in underwater basket weaving, you could have a job and you could be guaranteed a corner office in some office building. That's so far from reality today. You almost need a college degree, a four-year college degree in underwater basket weaving, just to get an interview, just to get your application in the door
and hopefully get a hiring manager to pay attention to you. So liberal arts degrees in psychology or whatever topics it is that they're teaching now in these universities, sometimes they're kind of worthless out in the job force, right? So my recommendation or my feelings or my opinion, for whatever it's worth, is that it's okay for our kids to get a 2-year degree or a 4-year degree, but there's also nothing wrong with checking out the trades and going to trade school, becoming a plumber, becoming an electrician, becoming a whatever, you know. Trade schools, like here in Charleston, in the Charleston area, we've got Volvo, we've got Boeing, we have several large manufacturing plants, and Trident Technical College has courses. If you apply at Boeing or if you apply at Volvo or any of these large manufacturing plants, you have to go through Trident Technical College, or you have to go through the South Carolina Employment Commission, where you get signed up, you fill out an application, and they tell you what the prerequisites are for going to work at Boeing, going on the assembly line, or going to Volvo, to the manufacturing plant. There are classes that you have to take that are trades-oriented. You have to learn how to weld, you have to learn how to do all sorts of things, right? And you can make very good money, and you don't necessarily need a 4-year college degree to do that. All right, so that was a free educational tip from ABC's Parenting Adult Children. They either rely on their parents for income or must move home. Even if you wouldn't have considered yourself a helicopter parent, many young adults are less resilient if you've intervened often on their behalf. They hit an obstacle and are less likely to cope, says Horowitz. This may be because they've become too attached and it gets in the way of independence. You can also accidentally set up a codependent relationship between you and your adult child, which is not healthy. Whatever the reasons are for your adult child's move back home, your success in making the arrangement work for the short haul depends on setting clear expectations and rules for adult children living at home. Now, here are some rules for adult children living at home. Number one, beware of and undo old patterns. Even if your son kept his dorm room surprisingly neat, it's easy to slip into old patterns and habits once he moves back into the comfort and routine of home. Be prepared for this possibility by discussing the way things were and share how you'd like to see those old patterns change in the present. For example, if he came home from his high school job and plopped down on the couch to watch TV, leaving his dirty clothes scattered about the living room, set an expectation early on. When he gets home from work now, you'd like him to leave his belongings in his room before he hangs out in a family common area. Whatever conflicts you had with your children before are likely to resurface, although they may look different now that they're adults. And your relationship is different because of it. But that doesn't mean old patterns, particularly negative ones, should be part of the new living arrangement. It's all about boundaries. You may not be in charge anymore, but so long as they're living in your home, work towards a better relationship with honest, open communication. Number two, make sure the burden of chores and household work is shared as equally and fairly as possible. They don't need a sticker chart anymore, but your kids should still contribute to the work of the household. Sit down together and discuss timing and what's realistic based on their schedule and yours. If your daughter loves to cook but works at a restaurant during dinner hours, perhaps ask her to make some freezer meals on the weekends or mornings off so you'll have access to easy options throughout the week. If your son has his own bathroom now, it's his responsibility to clean it, unless he's willing to do some other household tasks like mowing the lawn, replacing burned out light bulbs, taking out the trash, etc., etc., in exchange for mom's white glove touch. For more guidance on setting rules for adult children, living at home, and making an at-home relationship work with your adult children, read Boomerang Kids When Adult Children Move Back Home. And it's really interesting that that link is there, because my last episode 17, I guess that was episode 17, was about the boomerang syndrome or boomerang children, which I talked about all of the mechanics of what that looks like and how that affects you and your adult child. So this is a good link that you can click on. If you look where my mouse is, Boomerang Kids, it's a blue link. You can click on it and you can get more information. Letting go of adult children as they transition into the real world. If your children are still teenagers, the successful launch into adulthood starts even now. Here, Amy White, MBA and creator of the Daily Successful Living blog, shares what worked for her and her husband as their three teens, who are now 20-somethings, transitioned into adulthood. Help without giving handouts. One of the decisions my husband and I made as our children began to leave home was to provide support but not give a handout financially, White explains. As a parent, it is hard to see your kids struggle, which leads to a tendency to overindulge. To help our kids, we continue to pay for their health insurance, cell phones, and kept them on our car insurance. White says once their children started their first real jobs, she and her husband sat down with them and explained the cost of their phones and insurance and let them know that this was a cost for which they were responsible. Set up a system for payback. Each month, our adult children are responsible for paying us back, says White. All of our kids have slowly begun to transition these accounts into their own names and take this responsibility on themselves. We now have one child on our phone plan and one on our car insurance, she says. My wife and I personally have our daughter, who's 31, on our T-Mobile plan, and we pay for it. Mainly because my wife wants to be able to get a hold of her and she wants to know that she's safe. And I get that. And I'm hoping that in the future that we can start to transition her over to her own cell provider and no longer have to provide that expense for her. Every situation's different. One size doesn't fit all. Life happens and you have to take the good with the bad and you have to figure out what works, right? And nobody outside of your family can really tell you that. Letting go of adult children means celebrating the transition to independence. White and her husband have enjoyed this shift. It has been really fun watching them begin to stand on their own financially, she says. I think that by gradually letting them transition while providing the financial support they needed at the time, helped each of them to experiment with money and find a way of budgeting that worked for them. Oh my gosh. Budgeting. That can be an ugly word, right? However, when it comes to financial planning, budgeting is essential. And I told you that my wife and I will have been married 34 years in May of 2024. When we first got married, we were in our late 20s and early 30s. Neither one of us had a whole lot of financial planning experience or training. And we learned the hard way that if you don't pay your light bill, guess what? The utility company will gladly turn off your electricity source. And so I very quickly learned how to get into Microsoft Excel and set up a family budget for us, and I had a line item for rent, for electricity, for gasoline, for car payment, for cable TV, internet, yada yada yada, all the living expenses that we were accustomed to. We had to learn how to budget for those things. You also have to learn how to budget for savings, and that's a topic for another podcast episode. So anyway, I just wanted to highlight the importance of teaching your young adult how to budget their money, right? Now, here's another topic that's not necessarily touchy, but it's difficult to navigate. And I think we touched on this a little bit in some of my podcast episodes. If not, this will be good for you to listen to. When an adult child has mental health issues or special needs, Monica Garrett Hughes, an RN at Bright Star Care based in Lubbock, Texas, offers advice on establishing healthy boundaries when your adult child lives with mental illness. It starts before day one with understanding their illness and background, says Garrett Hughes. When she meets with families to provide care, Garrett Hughes seeks to understand triggers and how the illness presents itself. The first priority is demonstrating clear boundaries and never wavering, she says. But it's important for parents to learn what their son or daughter is able to do and encourage them along the way. Per Garrett Hughes, establishing routines and being predictable is also very important. One of the biggest challenges in navigating this type of parent-adult-child relationship, separating your child from his or her mental illness. Behind the mood swings, combative behavior, and tantrums, there's a beautiful soul that still needs compassionate care. I really like that. I'm going to read it again. Behind the mood swings, combative behavior, and tantrums, there's a beautiful soul that still needs compassionate care. So, as your adult child moves into the early 20s stage of their life, if they do have, let's say, ADHD or OCD, or if they have a bipolar issue, a bipolar personality issue, you're already aware of that, right? You probably already know it's there. And hopefully, as your adult child matures and moves into the later years of life or early adulthood, you know, age 18 through 23, 24, hopefully you have recognized that they need some sort of mental health therapy. You've taken them to a MHMR, mental health, mental retardation facility of some sort. Here in Charleston, there's Palmetto Behavioral Hospital, Palmetto Behavioral something or another. That's one place that parents can take their adult children to that will provide them with a therapist and sessions with a psychologist or psychiatrist or whatever it is they need, right? And there used to be a stigma for people getting therapy. That was like back in the 60s and 70s. You just didn't admit, your family didn't admit that you were going to family therapy or that your child needed to go to therapy or your mom or dad needed to go to therapy because of whatever, right? I think that stigma has pretty much been washed away as we have progressed in our mental health awareness and treatment plans, right? So I just want to encourage you as a mom or a dad or a grandparent that's listening to this, if there are mental health issues that have not been addressed and need to be addressed, you can call 211 on your phone. That's United Way. 211's I think a national number for United Way, and they can tell you what's available to you and your family in your area, and they can give you direction in which way to go. Okay, we'll see. J. Hope Suez, the author of Midlife Joyride, assumes many of the responsibilities for her grandson as her younger daughter, his mother, struggles with mental illness. My daughter, her husband, and their 2-year-old son live with me, she says. I also have to work through how to handle issues like money, household chores, and other situations with her directly. and learn how to balance where mental illness starts, and enabling begins. Enabling adult children can happen without you even realizing it. Suez took a course provided by the National Alliance of Mental Illness, or NAMI, so she could better understand her daughter's illness and gain the skills she needs to parent her as an adult. So that's a great resource, right? The National Alliance on Mental Health, Mental Illness. National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI. Google is your friend, so you can Google NAMI and go to the links and get the information that you need. In the case of an adult child with special needs, a longer period of support may be required before a transition to independence. Some adult children with special needs may always need support, but it should be tailored to their needs and with their goals for independence in mind. Read our article, Who Will Care for My Special Needs Adult Child, for insights and advice. This is a link that you can click on with your mouse. If you can see my mouse circling here, you can click on that link and it'll take you to more information. Parents enabling adult children. Author Heather Goodyear has a desire to see strong families in every phase of life, and this has informed both her writing and parenting. Two of her six children have reached adulthood, and one is right on the cusp. Says Goodyear, I have learned that too many parents fall into regret as their children reach adulthood. They have nostalgia for the baby, toddler, and growing up years, and regret that those days will not return. This regret often fuels enabling or even conflict because, instead of embracing all the independent aspects of their grown-up children's lives, they begin to fight against their children's growing independence. This creates a turbulent time between the parents and adult children that will likely cause more regret for parents later, says Goodyear. How do you avoid enabling adult children, particularly when your adult child is demanding and needy, and perhaps have been that way throughout childhood? Begin with setting boundaries with adult children and keep the goal of independence in mind. Work together to establish expectations. Talk openly about challenges and be honest in your communication about hurts and hopes. Adult children taking advantage of parents. If you lamented the empty nest, you'll probably welcome your child back home with open arms. But that doesn't mean you should do everything for them or let them take advantage of your warm welcome. I'm going to stop there and say that parenting never ends. While you may not have a parent-child relationship with your 20-something-old adult child, you have raised them. You have provided them, hopefully, with a firm, solid foundation of knowledge that they can use to enter into adulthood and start standing on their own two feet and making some wise decisions about their money, how they spend it, how they save it, career choices, relationship choices, religious choices, all of that, right? There's no manual. We all have to learn. We learn as we go, right? Life is a good teacher, an excellent teacher. Sometimes life teaches us harsh lessons, but those harsh lessons are sometimes permanent lessons that we learn and move on, right? So anyway, adult children taking advantage of parents. I was saying that. I mean, I think we all laugh about the fact that our young adults always come back to wash clothes. Like when they're going to college or whatever on the weekends, they won't have money to, you know, do anything with, hardly. Unless they have a huge trust fund that you've provided for them. They're going to come home, wash clothes, and get a meal or even raid your refrigerator or freezer and take food back with them. You know, that's just, that's part of parenting. It happens. Carrie Krawick, a licensed marriage and family therapist at Birmingham Maple Clinic, That's also a link that you can click on. In Troy, Michigan, advises parents to take an inventory of what they can control and what they can't. You may not be able to control how late your adult child stays out or sleeps in, but you might be able to control their resources like money, use of the car, etc., says Krawick. Create rules for adult children living at home and expectations for the things you can control and avoid what you can't. Well, I'm going to flash back to 2014 when I had my two teenagers who were very quickly becoming young adults. I basically had the rule of this is my house and my rules apply. And they apply because I pay all the bills. I pay the rent, provide food for everybody, keep the utilities on, I provide free internet, medical care, all of it. You know, if you're living under my roof, and you don't have a job, and you can't pay rent, then it's my rules. And yeah, I kind of had the mentality of it's my way or the highway. And again, my father was a strict disciplinarian, and he didn't play games with us as kids. And I set an expectation for my kid. I mean, my wife and I went to work early in the morning. We had to be at work at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. So at midnight, it was understood that I was locking the door, turning on the alarm, and going to sleep. And if you are not at the house by 11:45 p.m., when I locked the house down, then you had to go couch hop and go stay with some friends or whatever. If you're out partying and drinking and carousing and doing whatever it is you're doing, and I also told them, nothing good happens after midnight. Okay, so I was born in the 60s. Maybe that's a little bit too much, but that's the way I was raised, right? And having come from a law enforcement and private security background, and having worked from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., I could tell you some horror stories about some things that do happen after midnight, and they are not nice. But anyway, back to the podcast episode at hand. You may or may not be comfortable with allowing your adult child to come and go as they please. I was not comfortable with that, so therefore I had the rule that I had, right? One rule doesn't fit all, so you have to figure out what works for you and your family, right? What to do about adult children who expect money? Elizabeth Stitt, author of Parenting as a Second Language and founder of Joyful Parenting Coaching, offers this advice on navigating money matters with adult children. Let's say your mid-20s adult has moved back in with you. You are sympathetic to the challenges of the high cost of housing and you want to help. Helping is different than removing all obstacles and preventing your child from taking on adult responsibility. Sure, let them rent from you at a reduced rate, but do charge rent. How much? Well, enough to reduce the amount of struggle, but not all of it. If you're housing your adult child for a reduced rate and he is spending a lot on his leisure activities, no matter how wholesome, you're enabling your adult children and not allowing them to be an adult. That's really good. If you're housing your adult child for a reduced rate and he is spending a lot of his leisure activities, no matter how wholesome, you're enabling your adult children and not allowing them to be an adult. In other words, set up a savings plan. Set down with them and teach them about budgeting and say, okay, this is what it costs to rent an apartment in our area of the world or in our location, our geographic location, Charleston, Boston, LA, wherever it is you live. Sit down with your adult child and say, you know, you need to be able to pay $1,200 a month for rent, and you need to have a $1,200 for the first month's rent, $1,200 for your security deposit, and if you've got a dog or cat, then they're going to ask you for a security deposit for your pets. And you're also going to have to tell them that they're going to have to come up with a deposit for their electricity and or water or gas or whatever it is that they have to get turned on in their name, right? So they need to have, oh, I don't know, $4,500 or $5,000 saved up so that they can make that transition, right? And it, and if they're spending all of their income on booze and pot and whatever it is they're spending on, what it I did security at a disposable income. I did security at a several bars and dance clubs in downtown Houston, Texas, back in the 80s. And I remember talking to the bar owner or the club owner, I guess they're called clubs, and he basically said what kept them afloat was disposable income. And I was like, what do you mean? He says, well, all these single people, young adults that are coming in here, most of them are not married. They don't have children of their own. They're not paying mortgages. They're paying rent, you know. And some of them will even live at home. He says, so their income that they're earning is called disposable income, right? So don't let your adult child treat their income as if it's disposable, because it's not. They are expected, or should be expected by you, to transition into a stable environment to where they can stand on their own 2 feet. So yeah, charge them reduced rent for a room and room and board in your house. Provide them with free food, you know, what have you. Assist them in any way that you can, but don't let them just piss away their income on stupid stuff, right? Because now you're enabling them to make bad decisions. Gauge how much support to give by asking the question, is my support helping my child to reach a higher level of adult responsibility? For example, perhaps your providing housing allows your adult child to hold down a job, take continuing education classes at the same time, or maybe you're saving him from a couple of hours of commuting a day so that he can put in the extra hours to really impress his boss and line himself up for a promotion. For more on this thorny topic, read our article, Giving Money to Grown Children, When to Stop and How to Break the Habit. If you can see my mouse right here, click on that link and it'll take you to more in-depth information. Top concerns of parenting adult children. Whatever parenting adult children concerns arise in this new phase, the challenge often boils down to settling and honoring boundaries. How do you help them launch successfully without enabling adult children? How do you help your daughter struggling with money management to become financially independent? How do you empower your son who battles crippling anxiety to live in his own apartment? How do you navigate the return of a child with grandchildren in tow after a painful relationship or marriage ends? I'm sure some of you that are listening to this podcast episode are experiencing that. It's not unusual. I have married couples, friends, that are in their well into their late 50s and early 60s that are raising their grandchildren for whatever reason. How do you balance the desire to be all things to all the ones you love, children and grandchildren, spouses and aging parents, with doing the things you hoped and even planned for in the empty nest stage? That's a tough one. Talk about a thorny discussion or topic. There are many layers of complexity in this stage of life, and resources around it are few and far between. As many of these changes are newly emerging, and life for adult children looked very different in prior generations. As in any challenging life phase, talking through the issues with peers and those in similar situations is a positive starting point, as is seeking out counselors, mediators, and other professionals who are equipped to guide and direct to ease the growing pains of the parent-adult-child relationship. For many families, the unhealed wounds and scars of childhood, for both the parent and child, may need to be confronted in order to develop a healthy, grounded relationship. So, I read a lot of this information for you. I hope that you were able to close your eyes and absorb some of it. Again, this is extramile.thehartford.com.
https://extramile.thehartford.com. This is really excellent material, and I would highly recommend that you bring this up in your web browser and click on these links. One of the links is Emerging Adulthood. 10 million millennials are currently caregivers for a parent or grandparent. That's a link. There's another link down here for Growing Great Relationships. 20-something Life Strategist. That would be an interesting. Tess Brigham, a trained psychotherapist turned 20-something life strategist. Let's see, let's go down a little further here. Here's a link, Boomerang Kids, When Adult Children Move Back Home. Excellent resource. Read more, Parenting Adult Children, How to Support Without Overstepping. That's another link that's down here. Who Will Care for My Special Needs Adult Child is another link down here, or on this website. Birmingham Maple Clinic, licensed marriage and family therapist. Giving Money to Grown Children, When to Stop and How to Break the Habit. That's another link. So, I feel like this is probably the most informative podcast episode to date. And yes, I didn't come up with this material. I know something about this material. However, I'm not a licensed marriage counselor. I'm not a family therapist. I'm just like you. I'm a parent, you know. And we had 4 children. Lost one of them to cancer. And the Facebook group that we started in 2014. Let's see if I can find it up here for you. I got to bring up Chrome, excuse me. Oh, here it is. Parenting Young Adults. I don't know if you can see it or not. Up here at the top, it's www.facebook.com, groups, Tough Love Parents. It's facebook.com, groups, Tough Love Parents. So you can search Facebook and put Parenting Young Adults, and this will come up, right? It's a private group. And what's said in this group stays in this group. We practice extreme confidentiality, right? And it's a safe place for parents to come and talk about their struggles. We have 1,100 members, as you can see right here. We started out with 10 members back in 2014. My wife and I, we were struggling and we were looking for help, right? And so I took it upon myself to start Parenting Young Adults. And as you see, it says Tough Love Parents. So the title has kind of morphed over the years, and I've kind of refined it a little bit. But tough love is important, and sometimes you have to exercise tough love when you're dealing with your adult children, your young adults. So, anyway, I would, if you find yourself in a position of dealing with your young adults and money management and providing a place for them to stay so they can get on their feet, bringing youngins with them when they come because a marriage or a relationship failed, or there's a whole host of reasons why our children come back home, right? And my hope and dream or vision for Parenting Young Adults is that you in the listening audience that are listening to this podcast can receive encouragement and compassion and empathy and strength and direction on which way you need to go. And in very least, I want to provide you with the resources that are available on the internet,
And programs like Second Starts, Second Start Recovery. We have several podcast episodes where we have substance abuse leaders who provide help for parents and adult children who are struggling with addictions, whether it be alcohol, drugs, sex addiction, pornography, food addiction. There's all sorts of addictions out there that we all, at one time or another in our lives, struggle with, right? If you're struggling with an addiction, it's nothing to be ashamed of. The best thing you can do is admit you have a problem and go find help. Go find a therapist or a group or a mental health provider in your local area. Call 211, again, United Way. Say, hey, I have this issue or this problem. I need help. Where can I turn to get help? And there's some free options out there that are provided by the community. So I want to encourage you to do that as well. So, having said all of that, I'm going to open up Evernote. Yeah, how do you like this monkey? What is that? He's an upside down, he's not a monkey. I don't know what he is, but he's so cute, so adorable. He's just hanging from that branch and saying, hello, how are you? So anyhow, now I'm going to say thank you for the privilege of your time. I know this podcast has lasted over an hour, and I apologize for that. You may have to listen to it in stages. Listen to the first 30 minutes and stop it and come back for the next 30 minutes. Thank you for listening to today's episode. You can listen to this podcast on Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Apple, and Public Radio. That's Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Apple, and Public Radio. You may contact us at James C. Moffitt. That's M-O-F-F-I-T-T at Outlook.com. Please share our podcast with your friends, family, and coworkers, and have a blessed day. And I'm going to say, as I let you go, Happy Easter 2024. Bye-bye for now.
Please tune in next week for another episode of our podcast on parenting adult children.